Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LeBay, Justin Bauer, and Alex Salvin!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man! Guys, if you're here live in the theater, you know about this. If you're listening at home, I don't know if you could hear the very French video cameras that are in here.
Yes, you can hear they have a little. It smells a little bit like cigarette smoke. We have a French documentary team who's going to be shooting us tonight, so don't worry. And let me just say, je suis un acteur classiquement qualifié.
Oh, bad.
Wow. Je suis available for work in France. I lost a little bit at the end there. Do you guys know what I was talking about?
Justin, do you know the word for desperation in French?
I believe it's Justin Tyler. Desperation. Is that correct? I don't know.
Yeah. We're very excited to have them here. We're also excited to have you guys here, I think.
Did you mean us?
Yes.
Thanks for inviting us down to your show, Alex.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on. We mentioned this last week, but for those of you guys who don't know, a little order of business, we have a new video show on the Nerdist channel where we review movies.
We review movies.
You guys, thank you.
Yeah, we just did World War Z. We did Man of Steel. Before that, Pacific Rim is coming up. So if you guys hate comics and love movies,
then you're
get out of here. Stop listening to this and go watch our movie show instead. But if you like both things, you know, both things are fine too.
It's really exciting. It's called Biggest Summer Ever.
Yeah.
And we're doing it. You should definitely check it out.
You think we should plug the name?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Call me old fashioned.
Just find a thing. Search for a thing on the internet, and this should be the first thing
that comes up. Like to make people a little treasure map.
Absolutely.
Or a map de treasure, as the French say.
Ooh la la.
Guys, I'm pretty sure we got a great show.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do have a great show. I'm very excited to welcome our two guests back. They've been on the show multiple times, and we're very happy to have them here. They are working on a new story for DC Comics, Legends of the Dark Knight. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Soule and Dennis Calero!
Come on!
Jeez. Come on down. Come on down. 1-800, come on down.
Keep
great. Coming. Keep coming, gentlemen.
For those of you who are listening home, you should know that the audience area is about a quarter of a mile away from the stage. Yeah.
Well, the green room is lavishly decorated in Midtown Manhattan.
Yes, it is. There we go. Guys, thank you so much for coming back to the show. We're very excited to have you here. So, Legends of the Dark Knight. This is a Batman thing?
It's a new character. His name is Batman.
Uh-huh.
We also call him the Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
No.
Stupid.
So he wears armor, like dark armor.
Right.
He's a black man.
Ah, nice.
Yep.
Oh, great.
So
controversial.
So you don't confuse him with Knight.
Yeah.
The character Knight.
Down that road.
Co-written by Paula Deen, this comic. Any topical?
Oh, boy.
Anybody?
Let's just keep going down this road. Yeah. See what happens.
So why don't you tell us about your Legends of the Dark Knight story?
Charles?
So it is a Riddler story, which
Ooh.
Was what attracted me to the idea of writing a Batman story in the first place. I am kind of a puzzle guy, and so the Riddler has always been kind of an appealing character, and building a whole story around, you get the Riddler in the beginning, and then you don't sort of figure out what it's all about until the end was something that was, you know, I just thought it'd be fun. And a challenge, right? Because you want the riddle to be good.
Yeah, something like what has four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs in the evening.
A retarded cockroach.
Yep.
Wow.
Nailed it.
This is
you may pass.
Isn't the answer just always man to most riddles?
Yeah,
or 12, I guess.
To serve man.
Yeah.
That is actually the riddle in the story, so thanks for spoiling it.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
So Riddler is appearing in Batman Zero Year right now. That's obviously back in time, but does this coordinate with that at all, or is it two totally separate entities?
Two totally separate things. One of the fun things about the Legends of the Dark Knight series is that it is episodes from Batman's life that could have happened at any time in any place. And so it's sort of out of regular continuity, which is really cool. Which means that, like Dennis, when he drew it, he got to draw Batman and some of his, you know, his crew and his gear in totally different cool ways.
Like his rap crew.
His rap crew.
Exactly.
His posse.
He's got great hype men.
Let's just keep going down this road. I got to basically draw my favorite Batman, which is the 1930s. You know, short gloves, kind of longer shorts. What?
You love a short glove. I love a short glove, too. I hate a glove that goes right? other. I know.
Although I did, yeah. I wanted to do the big, giant, flailing ears, but I didn't quite get to do that.
Ah,
but,
shame.
You know, I got to draw Batman the way that I thought of him. It was like a sort of like a bruiser, a boxer with some smarts who put on a costume and decided to beat the hell out of people.
Nice.
That's for some reason that it really appeals to me.
Yeah. So does he beat the hell out of the Riddler? The Riddler's like, I've got a riddle for you. What has four legs in the
bam,
morning?
Crack.
Bam, bam, bam.
Not the short gloves, he says.
Oh, no. No, the Riddler is a mastermind here, which I think is the best way to do the Riddler, right?
Right. I mean, he at the beginning of the story, he shows up on the steps of Gotham Central Police Station and stabs a dude right in front of the cops. Yeah, you know, because he's a criminal mastermind.
That's a great, great riddle.
It's a great riddle, yeah.
It's a riddle.
Solve this one.
Yeah, the answer is...
gonna stab.
Yep. What fucking dies in the morning?
Are we cursing?
What?
So, interesting riddle.
I don't know.
Riddler voice.
Yeah, that's a Riddler voice. Hey!
He's a baby.
So that's what Riddler does, and then he goes in jail, and then, you know, so he's basically in jail the whole story, but there's, why did he do that crazy shit? And that's why you read the story, to find out.
Cool.
Awesome. And this story is part of DC's digital exclusive program. So, what do you love about it?
I love the immediacy. I like that the price point lets me try things I wouldn't normally. I was not a huge fan of the Smallville TV show, but the
because it was terrible.
Because okay. I didn't care for
all the long gloves level, on the characters.
A personal level, I did not care for it. My own personal opinion, but the comic was 99 cents. I tried it and I liked it, and I'm a fan. And I think there's something really interesting about the lower price point and the format, letting me go. You know, I'm on the train to the city. I can look at my phone and go. Oh, a buck. There you go. And I'm now all of a sudden I'm enjoying something I wouldn't normally have enjoyed. It broadens my horizons in a way that I'm somewhat comfortable with.
Wow. Oh, great.
And is this the first time you guys have worked together?
It is, but it hopefully is. Not the last time.
Oh, yeah.
We're best buds now.
Yeah, you guys live together and in apartment. You share an apartment. Yeah, that's great.
It's confusing.
Your bunk family. Beds.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It was a fantastic collaboration. You never know. Like when you're, you know, some... I knew of Dennis's name, but I'm like, all right, there's some jerk who's going to draw my amazing script. Who knows?
I'm a jerk. Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
We could have told you that. No one else drinks wine on our show, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Like a
Red
dandy.
Strike. Oh, look at me. I'm
yeah, you're just trying to appeal to our French crew today.
This is Hooray beer, my friend. Did you bring that bottle of Bordeaux from home? When does your foie gras appetizer arrive?
I love foie gras. Stop that.
Oh, you pronounced it foie gras.
Foie gras.
Oh, Jesus. Just for the benefit of the French people here.
Merci beaucoup.
So to bring it back around to the story.
No.
Oh, yeah.
This is the real
thank
story.
You, Charles.
So, you know, when it started, I was like, you know, I knew Dennis's name. I knew he's a good artist. Good. You know, passable. You know, competent, professional.
Yeah.
And then.
Handsome.
Certainly
good
handsome. Certainly
way to
handsome.
Way to sneak that in.
We actually, but most of my experience with Dennis was from an exotic karaoke night a couple years ago.
That's right.
I think we've all had a story like that with Dennis.
Yeah. Dancing karaoke.
Yeah,
it's all good.
An exotic karaoke. That sounds like a strip club.
Well, you know, it was fun. It was a good night. But by the end of it, by the end of our work on the story, not the exotic karaoke night, that's a totally different ending. I asked him to draw me a commission of his version of the Batmobile and his Batman and everything like that, which is here for all the listeners at home.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Dennis, spill your wine on that.
Oh, no. That is very nice.
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
What kind of car is that? I got to design my own Batmobile for the story, so of course it's a 65 Mustang fastback convertible.
Wow.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Batman is playing it cool in that picture.
Yeah, suppose it was his
it's kind of a douchey Batman. Yeah. He's like, check out my ride.
Yeah. That's exactly what I asked for.
I'm Batman.
His initial sketch was like, you know, Batman being like tough and inscrutable. And I'm like, no, man. Batman's
Scott,
raw. He's raw intensity in this picture.
Is he wearing hot shorts there? Like, what's with the...
Hot shorts.
No, he's wearing short Batman gloves on his legs.
Short, yeah, those are called short leg gloves.
Short gloves.
He's just putting out the vibe and waiting for the ladies to show up. If I know that move.
Yeah, his legs are bare. You can't tell because it's
it's all flesh.
Because it's black
all
and white.
Flesh.
Yeah, all flesh.
So
Calero's flesh. Batman.
Is this a 3-part storyline? Is that correct?
Three parts.
Three-part storyline. Yeah. When is it released?
It's out.
It's out. Yeah.
That's right.
The third part came out?
Yeah, third part came out last week, actually. So you can get all three parts.
So catch
up. So it's 30 pages. It's a nice, solid read for 30 pages for, I guess, $3, right?
It's that's entertainment amazing. For $3.
That's a hell of a deal.
That's a great deal.
It's a hell of
you can't get much better unless it's you're at an exotic karaoke night.
Colorist is fantastic.
Yeah.
Colorist is also me.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Great job.
And do you guys think you'd want to tackle Batman again?
Oh, God, I hope
do you think
so.
You'd want to tackle
Batman again?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would love to do Batman.
No, thanks. We're done.
Batman is their premier comic character.
Yeah?
And I love him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one man's opinion. Again, he comes on the show, drinks wine, and says a lot of strong statements.
Alex, did you know that Batman's a really famous
but
character?
I said it.
Did you know
what?
Did you know that Batman's, like, really huge?
Is he?
Yeah, he's
like, is he like Aurora and North Star huge?
Oh,
wow! What a weird reference.
Yes, I believe the answer to that is yes.
Yes,
yeah.
On this show.
I've never heard of him. Does he have any movies?
He makes movies. He's a filmmaker.
He
yeah. So you should check.
Action.
Yeah.
I'm using.
Don't feel the motivation.
Yeah. I'll be in my trailer. This is shit. I'm using an old-timey crank camera. Yeah.
Have you guys seen those Funny or Die Batman videos?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
So funny. Batman on sex and the whole bit. And
your slate is clean. Like a clean slate. It's the best.
They're really good. And everyone's laughing because they've all seen them too, right, guys?
Shout out.
Yeah. So let's talk. You guys are working on a lot of other stuff individually. Dennis?
Yeah.
I'll allow you to go first.
Oh, okay.
All right. Save the best
allow
for
you.
Yeah.
Oh, allow you.
Well, great. Dennis is slowly taking over the show.
Deference.
Slowly?
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles, I want to make it very clear. He just made you the opener, and he's the main act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well,
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes when we get the list of projects done, huh?
Wow. Ooh. Oh, slam.
Oh, no, you did.
I'll hold back.
So one of the things you have is Red Lanterns.
Yes, Red Lanterns.
Coming out tomorrow.
That's true. So the whole Lantern slate has been... I don't know about rebooted totally, because all the stuff that happened still happened, but there's a totally new list of creators on each of the four main Lantern titles. And so I am writing Red Lanterns, which is the aggressive blood-vomiting Lanterns.
I love that. Yeah, let's hear it for vomiting.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's right. I mean, that's basically every story has vomiting in it, like literally. That was a note I got.
More vomit was one of your notes?
Yeah. Actually, it was.
Seriously,
more vomit. They didn't phrase it exactly that way, but yes. And the main sort of fun thing about the Red Lanterns run I'm doing is that Guy Gardner, that's the issue right there, as a matter of fact.
Look at that.
From the future. So Guy Gardner is now the main character of the Red Lantern series, who is I think the coolest.
The baddest ass.
Yeah, he's a pretty badass.
Would you say he's the premier comic book character?
I would say he's
certainly
the premier Green Lantern that we're talking about right now.
he's the Batman of the Lantern family, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, Charles, it's so nice to let us read the issue before it comes out, and it's great. Really liked it. Yeah, it's really a strong new mission for Mr. Guy Gardner. I thought it was really smart.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Green
Thanks,
Lantern.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
But this comic...
I'm not a big fan of you. I'm not a big fan of this comic, this character, DC Comics.
I'm going to walk
comic
the fuck out
industry.
Of
here. Fuck you. Fuck everything you stand
Usually,
for.
Usually, I think all of this stuff is shit.
Spit in your beer.
But I like this book.
But yeah, I know you.
I really was impressed with this, and now I'm on board. So thank you.
I said this before. God. No, go ahead, please. Finish.
I was going to say I could win him over, then.
Well, he's the hardest.
Before the show, you look fantastic. I just want to say that on the record that you look amazing.
Well,
off
you.
The record?
You know.
No, on the record. I want to say
you better speak in a couple other compliments to Alex and I over the course of the show.
You're both always handsome.
Huh?
Oh, you're both always handsome.
Oh, but Pete looked like shit up until
you
today.
Into a project. Huh? It's a struggle.
What?
Wrangling you into a project.
Wrangling?
Well, maybe not you yourself is a problem. We'll talk later.
This is a weird show. This is a weird episode.
Is it?
Dennis, there's no separation between the real
Red
world
Lanterns
and fantasy.
Red is great. We've established that.
Thank you.
Lots of vomit. Another book that you're working on that just got announced is Superman Wonder Woman. I got the order right?
Yes, you did. And actually, the order is one of the many controversial things about Superman Wonder Woman. There's a vocal contingent that is made up of a lot of different small contingents that all have very strong opinions about the existence of a Superman Wonder Woman book. I did not know they existed until the book was announced.
What was the controversy?
There's a lot of controversies. One of them is that people would prefer to some. I mean, I don't want to say like everybody, but it seems like there are some people, a small segment of the comic book reading audience, who would prefer to see a book about Lois Lane and Superman together, which exists. I think it's Smallville, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great book.
The Adventures of Lois and Clark.
There is another contingent that would rather see the book be called Wonder Woman Superman because they think that Wonder Woman should be prominent. Calling it Superman Wonder Woman makes Wonder Woman somehow relegated to second place.
It's only alphabetical order, for God's sake.
Yeah, you know. And the great thing about all of this sort of the tweeting I've been enduring, a lot of tweeting. I've been enduring a lot of
How do you endure all those tweets?
You poor man.
You know,
like everyone, like a bullet to the body.
Yeah, it's not
just
easy.
Just a steaming bullet.
It is not easy. A lot of tears have been shred.
We're here for you, Charles.
Over these
We're here for you.
Well, that's why I came. I wanted to, you know, get a little love. That's why I came here. Yeah. So, I mean, I lost my train of thought. Superman, Wonder Woman.
So, reminding you about the pain of those tweets.
Yes, the tweet. Yeah, reminding me of the pain. But the great thing about
like
all these tweets and all this commentary and all these blog posts and all these Tumblrs and all this agitas is that no one has read the book yet. No one knows what it's about. No one knows anything about what I'm going to do with it.
Well, it's
which
like
is
a,
what makes it super fun.
It's
the secret
book,
is,
right?
Yeah, the secret is it's a makeout book.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, a bunch of smooches.
Dating guide.
Yeah.
First of all,
sweet.
The idea that the book would only be one thing is ridiculous. You know, like it's going to be a million different awesome things.
So like makeouts and hugging.
Yeah, makeouts, huggings, and holding hands.
That's the order. Yeah, first and second base, right, Alan?
And a dating guide.
Makeouts, hugging, and hard snuggling.
Can you tease us a little bit of what it's going to
be? Yeah, like how much hugging is there?
Yeah.
Or it's special hugging.
As far as I know, in the first issue anyway, there's no hugging at all. There's not even a single hug. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You
I'm
deserve
tweet
those
about
tweets.
That. Yeah, lots of tweets coming from that. We love hugs.
A lot of pro-hug tweets.
So the book, the setup of the book, at least, as far as we know, is Superman and Wonder Woman have started dating in the DC universe
is that
in
really
continuity.
True?
Yes, they are. They're a couple for sure. It happened in Justice League 12.
Right.
I didn't know
that. A little controversial. There's some, in the DC universe, it's controversial. There was a scene where Booster Gold saw them kissing on a monitor, was like, oh no, this is going to destroy the world. And then he disappeared.
Yeah.
And there was another scene where Batman was watching them from the satellite, being a little creepy about it. It was like, I don't know, too powerful for people getting together. People are going to be pretty upset. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that is probably a little more of the setup of the series than smooching and hugging.
You know, it's I think calling it only one thing, again, is it's going to be a ton of different things. It's an awesome action book. You know, with two of the most powerful characters in the DC universe having crazy adventures, which is cool.
I really thought you were going to say crazy sex.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to have
crazy it's gonna sex. So it's going to be other superheroes, like, creeping up on them and offering their opinion while they watch them make out?
Yes, absolutely. Lots of
awesome.
Monitors. You know that movie?
Yeah, at any point, I just got to ask.
The Invisible Man is not involved.
Oh, you beat me by a second. God damn it.
You got to be sharp around me,
David. I've never seen Alex angry like that.
What was the Sharon Stone movie?
I was in the process
Sliver.
Of asking if the Invisible Man
was remember in that movie Sliver? We all remember Sliver. It was Sharon Stone's big sexy follow-up to
Baldwin.
It was, and she like takes her panties off at dinner with Billy Baldwin or something.
Sliver?
Like that.
I saw Sharon Stone like 3 weeks ago.
Did you know?
She still looks good.
We just aged ourselves up about 10
did
years.
Did you guys know
she
that
still
Sliver
looks
is based on a book?
Well, Sliver? Sliver?
Yeah, Sliver's based on a book. I don't remember the name, but.
Great.
There you go. That's my story.
Fun fact.
Great. I believe it's. I think it's Youngblood number one. I think
Jordan,
it's based on.
Jordan has read the book, so that's the best.
What can you?
He reads it every year to refresh his memory.
What
on his birthday?
Can we actually talk about
his birthday? Sorry.
What can you actually tell us about the book?
Yes, I'm about to. if people would stop getting sidetracked talking about Sharon Stone movies,
I believe you brought that up.
What? No, Jordan brought it up.
Michael Jordan is in the crowd tonight. Yes.
This show is just chaos.
Yeah.
Right now he's busy pumping his shoes.
Sip your wine.
Here is what
the sommelier will be here in a second. Yeah.
Let him talk.
What actually happens in Superman Wonder Woman is that Superman and Woman are a couple, but they're like rock stars, right? They're like movie stars, which means they aren't actually able to spend that much time together. They get pulled apart constantly by their demands and obligations all over the world to save people and do amazing superhero things. So the relationship is a component of it, but what it's really mostly about is them trying to, you know, deal with the fact that their lives are what their lives are. And that's not easy. These are two, like, incredibly, you know, they're demigods basically, and trying to have a relationship, trying to save the world at the same time. It's, you know, with some huge crises that come out of nowhere and start pulling them apart. It's pretty cool. I'd compare it to something like, I don't know, like the really good seasons of, I don't know,
Moonlighting.
Yeah. Now, do you think we've dated ourselves?
We just
now?
Aged ourselves another 10 years.
Yeah. No, I would have said something.
That
like,
was amazing.
I'm thinking of shows that have really handled the romance element well while still being exciting and fun. I think like Buffy did it really
New
well.
New Girl.
So not Moonlighting.
Cheers.
Yeah, no, not Moonlighting. I don't think, because they're already together. There's no will they or won't they. They are
perfect like stranger.
Yep. Perfect Stranger.
Who's the boss?
The Perfect Stranger is the prequel to Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's the boss? Who's the boss?
Good times.
Good times.
Great. Okay, guys,
Family
we're only
matters.
Getting older.
We're just mentioning sitcoms. Boy. That's the idea of the show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dick Van Dyke
I Love Lucy. Yeah. Leave it to Beaver.
Now, at the around the same time you're launching Superman Wonder Woman, Greg Pak is also launching Batman Superman. Actually,
yep.
That comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Is there any coordination between the two?
Well, Batman Superman is set back 5 years ago when the friendship between Batman and Superman was just starting, and Superman Wonder Woman is set now. So, you know, I mean, Greg and I have had many conversations about Superman. You know, he's also just announced as the action writer. Which
That's
so,
right.
So the real coordination has really been on that title, like sort of making sure that the, I mean, the three main Superman current continuity. You got a joke. You're dying to
I'm
say
I'm dying to say, yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
Batman, Superman's going to be like, I'm thinking about asking Wonder Woman out. Batman's going to be like, I would try it. And then you're going to be like, and then in your book, it's going to be Superman being like, you know, Batman really helped me figure this out. And Wonder's going to be like, Batman's an idiot.
5 years ago, Batman told me to buy you flowers. Yeah. Well, Batman is an asshole.
Yeah.
Here's what I want. I want a title called Batman Wonder Woman, where Superman's best friend awkwardly hangs out with his girlfriend.
Like, should we see a movie?
It's really awkward.
Yeah. Superman is asking me out. Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, I don't know. Superman likes you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, my God. Then there's
I can't believe I said that. Oh,
I'm
man.
So bad at keeping secrets.
Then there's Robin Wonder Woman. I want to touch your boobies. Yeah. No, thank you.
I'm dead.
Great.
I'm dead. Let me touch your boobies.
Great stuff.
Anyway.
I'm dead.
He's a haunting her.
Come on. Any of these ideas are fair game.
I've been patiently waiting to talk about Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
All right.
What a good man.
Great.
You have been very patient.
Yeah. You look really good.
So, Charles, beyond everything else, you're writing Marvel's Thunderbolts at the same time.
I am.
Taking over for one of the greats here, Danny Way, who did an amazing job.
Whoa, Pete.
What?
Again, no, Pete doesn't like
what,
Pete,
I can't?
Pete doesn't like him.
As a person or as the book?
Huh? No.
The Daniel
Go ahead,
Way
Pete.
As a person?
Ask your question.
Yeah, you have a question or was it
so, just? So I just want to talk a little bit about maybe what you got coming up.
Sure. Absolutely. Is that a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
what do you got coming up?
Okay.
You're
so,
taking over the book.
Vacation
What's happening?
The greatest show ever.
So the first issue of my run hits next Wednesday, which is going to be July, a day in July.
3rd, I believe.
Okay, 3rd. July 3rd. I don't know when this will air specifically, but July 3rd. So that's going to be issue 12, which is a Punisher-centric issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
Basically, the way that sort of came about is that when I came onto the title originally, I spoke to the esteemed editor, Jordan White, who is
Jordan
here.
D. White.
Jordan D. White, yeah.
Yeah.
I call him Mr. White.
A round of applause for one of our audience members.
Yes, absolutely.
That happens all the time.
I'm sure it does.
D, by the way, stands for Deadpool.
Yeah. Great.
I thought it stood for dead sexy.
Wow, just throwing out compliments.
I thought
throwing them out.
That's right,
you haven't
handsome.
Got any yet.
Haven't
you
gotten
got
one any, from Dennis.
That's Miller. Right, handsome.
Hey, he's
so you're dying for actual news about what's going to happen.
Yes, that's what we're aiming at.
You're being a little patient. So basically, there are some threads that are going to be left over from the Daniel Way run,
right.
Which just ends now with 11.
And you're going to respect those threads, right?
Respect the Threads is a phrase from his knitting group.
Yep. Yeah.
That is the name of my first album. Threads. It's Respect the Threads.
Respect the Threads. Yep.
Coming from a man who wears the same jacket, unwashed, for the last 6 years.
That is so unkind.
Respect the Threads.
Yes, of course. I mean, I think he did a great job, too. I think that, you know, that just because the stories are great doesn't mean there aren't some questions that can be answered and things
awesome.
Like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's also really fun because the artist for my first issue is Steve Dillon, who... Who drew some of the coolest Punisher issues that have ever been drawn, not to mention Preacher and a lot of other kick-ass stuff. So the idea that he would be drawing my first Marvel script, which happened to be a Punisher story, it was like I was as jazzed about it as anybody could be. It was amazing.
Is it your first Marvel script?
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Nice. Yeah.
So
let's do it. Come on. Let's do it.
Thank you. So,
and keep in mind, you don't have to listen to Dennis when he makes you applaud.
It's nice, but it's nice.
So basically it's a story where Punisher... It's I consider it sort of a classic Punisher story. He, beginning of the issue, he identifies his target, and then for the whole rest of the issue, he was going after that target no matter what gets in his way.
Yeah, and, killing people.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does. He's punishing people. It's not always killing them.
But it's mostly killing them. I just got
that. Yeah, that's why it's called that. Absolutely.
Oh, thanks.
It makes a lot of sense.
And so then after that, there's another focused issue on Mercy, who is that kind of weird Peter David villain from the... I'm sorry if I keep calling Mercy weird. I just find her strange. She's from the 90s. She was an obscure Hulk villain who somehow managed to end up on
the... It was a strange time in the 90s.
Yeah, somehow managed to end up on the Thunderbolts. And so... There's an issue kind of explaining her backstory, which is drawn by Phil Noto, which is also pretty amazing.
Love him, too. He's awesome. Great.
And then the new arc, which is a crossover with the whole Infinity mega adventure that is happening at Marvel over the summer, is drawn by Hefte Paolo, who drew Fred Van Lente's Thunderbolts.
Yep.
A lot of really, really great stuff. And the neat thing about each of those artists is that their style is incredibly different. So, you know, I'm kind of writing a different... type of story with each one of the issues, and it's been really cool, man. I think you particularly will enjoy it.
Holy shit.
Awesome. That's all I wanted.
Yo, disrespect the threats.
Dennis, let's turn to you.
Yep.
Follow that up.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, what are you working on? You're working on a couple of things.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nah. All right, great. Let's move on to the next segment.
Great. Okay, here we go.
I should, out of responsibility, I should say, I will be drawing a new Army of Darkness series for Dynamite, which is written by... I want you guys to hear this. Written by Steve Niles.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Very cool.
It will be funny as well as gross and everything. I will be doing I just found out today that I will be doing a creator-owned project for Dark Horse Comics, which I will be writing as well as drawing.
Awesome. Let's round of applause that. Right?
Thank you. a preemptive, expectant thank you. And I have a project in development with Sci-Fi Channel, which I'm executive producing.
It's a TV show.
It's a television show.
It's a comic that somebody says
they're... I genuinely want Justin to be involved. And
say the word.
I'm going to keep pushing for it. But it's incredibly...
I'll send you more of my headshots if possible.
They're very handsome.
Is it called World's Stupidest Idiots?
Aww.
Did you say idiots?
Yeah.
I can pull that up.
I'm jockeying for a position. Yeah.
Hey, we should all go in and audition together, the three of us.
Yeah.
We all do a great monologue.
So life is good. And I hope again.
Yeah, likewise. Very absolutely. Soon. It was really good. It was a great collaboration. You know, I would love to see more of his Batman and stuff. Yes.
Great.
Cool. Yeah. Wonderful.
Great.
Awesome.
I just got a meme tweet about Superman Wonder Woman. I'd love to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's clap for that. There you go.
It is the tweeter is Beautiful Temptress.
Oh, man. May
I read this in character?
There's another one?
No, that's Dan.
May I read this in character?
So the tweet is to both DC Comics and to myself, and it says...
Okay, so this is a woman. Beautiful Temptress says, "You seriously? What is this relationship? Diana kissing with another man? Clark dreams about Lois."
That is what it says.
We should mention.
Thank you. And scene.
Yeah, we should mention that Beautiful Temptress is actually Jim Lee's handle on
Twitter. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So that's a weird mixed message from him.
Yeah. The only difference between this tweet and the typical tweet is that this one does not tell me to fuck off. So,
nice.
Yeah, they're pretty. It's been fun. It's been pretty fun.
May I ask a question about the series?
Yeah.
Will their disparate. Help me out. Disparate backgrounds be a factor in their relationship? You know, he's a boy from Kansas, and she's a goddess with big boobies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've spent a lot of time thinking about Superman and Wonder Woman, what makes them the same and what makes them different, and like all that stuff. You know, I'm sure you had.
Yes.
So yeah, but it's not just going to be that either. Like it's gonna, I don't know, whatever. Just wait and see.
You're
don't
saying
even
it's
think
like
about
a romantic
it.
Comedy. It does a lot of action. There's a lot of whiz bang.
There's a lot of great stuff, but. Who cares until you can have it in your hands and read it? I mean, that's if there's anything I would like people to take away from this show tonight, it's stop tweeting at me until you've read the book. Once you've read it, go
tweet
ahead.
I just wish there was a way to delete tweets or not read Twitter, you know? And it would really save you so much pain.
But it's also a valuable tool, man. Huh? I don't know. It's a valuable tool. Like, I use it to connect and sort of promote and everything.
Yeah, well, right. Okay. Same way I love reading comments on YouTube videos. I really connect with those people.
I don't know. It's
really
different.
Really use those comments.
I get good comments on YouTube. I mean, it's fun.
I tell you what, I can't read the book and then tweet at you to fuck off.
Yes, which is that's fine. Allowed. Like, if it's a valid opinion once you've read it and don't like it, I'll like that's cool.
Well,
like,
fuck off.
I'm gonna read it and like it. I'm gonna say fuck on.
Hey,
fuck on.
You
fuck off,
fuck on, sir.
That would be a great tagline for the book, actually.
Yeah.
Superman Wonder Woman.
Fuck on.
Like a hashtag. With
hashtag fuck on.
Fuck on.
There's nothing about any of this that's gonna get us fired.
Yeah, I know. Guys, hashtag at Comic Book Live with fuck on and let
fuck
us know
on.
What you think. Let us know what you think of the show.
All right, there we go. Check Yay. Out all of that stuff, you guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. All right. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we particularly like this week and go to bat for them. First one, we're going to pick Pete's pick, Invincible, number 103 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
And I should mention, maybe this was a light week for comics. Maybe a little bit of a light week.
I bought a lot of comics for
sure. Well, I would say this is actually, just from doing a sampling, the most fractious
stack we've had in a while.
But, Pete, you really liked this issue.
I did. Kirkman does a good job of, like, when he has a cast of characters, pushing them in different directions that doesn't seem out of character but still challenges them really well. Here we have Invincible's lady who is going through a lot of stuff because she is pregnant and can't use her powers.
Yeah.
So we see her struggling with this. Gives a real kind of everyday aspect to her. And it's really enjoyable. And it's cool to see someone frustrated while driving.
Yeah. That's my
that
most often
that
requested
like
story.
Comic
line.
Books.
Plus,
using the majesty of comic books. Tell any story.
Yeah.
And you tell a story about someone being frustrated while driving.
Well, just think traffic.
But I also love the last page reveal on this.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yep.
Can I ask a question about the last page reveal to you?
Sure,
sure.
Do you think that Kirkman is merging his two universes, the Zombieverse and the Invinciverse?
No.
Okay. Well, that's it.
What do you think about this?
That's
book,
my
Justin?
Question.
I feel like Invincible in the large events. I feel like he builds those very well. But in between the large events, it's sort of like reading the news. It's like, oh, what's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? And it all sort of piles up. It evens out for me. So I feel like this issue was a little just like, oh, I see. Oh, that's happening. I guess we're just following up on this stuff.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I feel like he's been
fuck on.
He's done some amazing issues for this, but for a good long while. It's been superhero soap opera, but airing on the side of soap opera.
Yeah.
There's a title.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, okay. There's a title called Noble Causes that was straight up
soap opera.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that because that was the mission statement right up front. But here we get – it's almost cursory action. It feels like the action is there just because this is supposed to be a superhero book.
I see.
And he's totally concentrated on the soap opera aspects. So I feel like both suffer a little bit.
Do you guys all read this in floppies? I mean, I read it in trades, and my experience is pretty different. And because when you read it in trades, it's all just reading the big kind of planned out story, and it builds the action beat. So I really like this series,
I think that's it points to right what I was saying. Like, this is definitely a middle of the trade issue where it's finished up within the last storyline. And moving to the next one. But reading it as a standalone issue, I feel like it suffers because of that. When it's just like, oh, okay, keeping up, it's like a series of commercials before you get to the rest
of
the show.
Honestly, middle issues, like, you know, they can be tough because you know what your beginning is.
Second acts are always tough.
Yeah, and you know your big ending, but then like finding a way to keep things spinning and be interesting in the middle, as Jordan will find out when he reads my Butterbolt script I just sent him this week.
Let me ask you guys a question then. This is a very stupid question, stupidly phrased, but why do those middle issues?
Just skip an issue.
Because you do need a period of time in a story
where things are building up and you're setting the stage for the third act. And making that intrinsically interesting, it can be a challenge. My approach has always been that the second act in and of itself should be treated as a three-act little mini-play that sets up the bridge between the first and the third act. That's just been my approach.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I think you can liven it up with if you give people, now that I'm writing a lot of sort of monthly issues all of a sudden, I'm trying to give, even if there's a lot of like middle issue, heavy lifting that you have to do, you give them at least one really kick-ass like sequence or scene, and then the rest can be exposition or whatever you have to do. But like you give them at least something.
Even if it's not action, just like a story that has a beginning, middle, and end. Because like this issue, I feel like is all middle. But I feel like we need something that is like, oh, this is what the issue starts. And it can be as simple as something that the artist does, or something that sort of carries it through, as opposed to just being like series of panels that could be anywhere.
I don't think anybody would disagree that every issue should have its own beginning, middle, and end,
right?
And should be interesting in and of itself. Whether that you're always succeed at that is, one of the wonderful things I love about comics is that. Because it's monthly, you don't always, from my point of view, you don't always have to succeed. I don't consider every comic to be a movie in and of itself that has to be 100%.
I feel the same way about all my personal relationships. It works out great. You don't always have to succeed. I'm you can stunning. Blow a bunch of them. Yeah. Right, guys?
Speaking of which, let's move on with Justice Pick.
Sure.
All right. Justice Pick was Uncanny Avengers number 9.
The great cover by John
Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great cover.
Justin, you want to talk about this one a little bit?
Sure. There's a lot. So there's a lot going on in Uncanny Avengers right now. Rick Remender's writing a very dense storyline, and I feel like coming out of some Age of Ultron stuff, and he's got the Apocalypse kids as the villains, there's so much stuff to set up, and it's a little difficult. In this issue, we're getting a lot of setup. So it does suffer from the middle issue stuff I was talking about earlier.
You were talking about?
Yeah, we all were. Uh-huh. But I do think the reveal at the end of this issue, the new Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, there's some great Thor Wolverine stuff in this issue. There's nice character moments amidst all this very dense setup stuff. I really like the issue.
Pete, what do you think about this book?
It was all right. I really like Remender's stuff. I feel like it's great. It's powerful. I just wasn't... it's weird to see Wolverine with two claws just because X-23 is...
Well, that's a clone.
Yeah, well, either way, it's kind of... I like my Wolverine with three claws.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Dokken.
Who's this guy on the left here?
There's okay, so the new Four Horsemen of Death are... oh my God! What's his name?
Wonder Man's
uncle.
Slappy
Wonder
dude.
Man's brother.
Brother.
Bank teller.
Grim Reaper. Sideburns. Thank you.
Johnny.
Banshee.
Dokken and Sentry.
That tickled me.
Yeah, this was easily my least favorite issue of the week.
Wow. Least favorite?
Least favorite, if not the month.
Of all the comics
if not
you read?
Forever.
What? Come on.
Strong statements.
I'm not saying
the
that.
The artwork is absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, I will say that. Daniel Acuna
is amazing, and he's a great. Well, let me see.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Nothing to fault with the artwork.
Acuna Matata. Thank you.
What a wonderful phrase.
I'm Spanish. I can do that.
Usually.
What?
Usually, I like Rick Remender a lot. I think he's a very good writer. What he's building here is, as usual, reliably insane in a very good way. This issue is a piece of expositional whatever.
But there's nice character moments throughout.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, there are... All right, there,
you
was
just
a, there was
complaining that the last issue was... Go ahead, please.
Well, okay, there was a debate online about a speech that Havoc gave where he's like... We should not use mutants as a word. We are just all people together. And people flipped out about that online. So Remender spends probably like 15 to 3,000 pages approximately responding to that argument in the comic book. Where it's just everybody kind of standing around and talking about it for a while.
Yeah.
And then they stand around and talk about whether Wolverine should kill people for a while. And then Wonder Man, by the way, who previously had been like, I'm not going to throw a punch ever. I'm a pacifist now. Goes into a training sequence in their danger room and is beating the shit out of things.
What's a train?
Same
so
place
it's
to
a
do that.
Hideously inconsistent comic book at best.
Superman, Wonder Man, coming soon.
There you go. If they made out, I'd be into that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Be like, put your ions in my...
All right.
What?
You know what I mean.
Yeah. I do think that I really like this revelation of the Four Horsemen, though. I think that's cool.
Sure, the last battle was great.
Where has Sentry been? I should know that.
Dead.
Probably,
is Sentry in this? Is this him?
Yeah, he's on the right.
Why is he blue?
He died in one of the big crossovers from a few years ago. Yeah.
And I want to be clear, this is an aberration in an otherwise very good series.
Yeah.
I know I'm sounding very strong.
And I like,
but
I like this
surprised.
Issue.
No, you're wrong, though.
Yeah, well.
With adorable artwork.
Okay, well, let's
very,
move on, let's move on to
European.
Your pick.
I mean, like very, I have to say, very complex, multiple panels.
Yeah.
The color and the black and white art are very well
integrated. That's the thing, is Alex can't really connect with European things. He's very stupid, and so it's hard for him
typical American.
What the hell is a Fellini?
Yeah. I just want to see a cheeseburger in my comic, you know?
Yeah, you get it. Well, are you doing an Italian accent about being an American?
Pie, whatever.
Great.
Lovely.
Let's move on with my pick. Yep. X-Factor, number 258.
Yeah.
From Marvel Comics.
I love that book.
Yeah, I love this book. It is sadly coming to an end. As the cover says, part 2 of 6, the end of X-Factor.
If I was drawing that book, it would not be coming to an end. I'll say that right now.
This is a pretty solid issue where Rain... Wolfsbane is feeling a little lost, literally and figuratively. She ends up meeting up with one of Madrox's, the Multiple Man's doubles, who's stayed separate, become a priest. They have a little heart-to-heart, and they figure out that what she should do is she should hang out in the church with him, take over the deacon's job, and help him out. And this connects her back to the beginnings of the character. She has a religious upbringing.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice little story. And what
so
I
you
love...
like a priest confessional issue, but you don't like a conversation scene?
Yeah, thank you.
Here's why I think.
Defend
I think
yourself.
Because Peter David nails issues like that, where it's just a simple conversation between people. There's action throughout. You have the characters really connecting. The dialogue is simple. I felt like the dialogue was a little over the top in Uncanny Avengers.
What, just, well, because he was making sort of a political
what
point.
What action throughout? You're talking about her wandering in...
The guys who shoot up the shirt... Church at shirt,
shirt.
Shoot up the church and jumps through the window.
Hey, respect the threats.
There's a wolf blowing up right here.
And then Guido, who's now the king of hell, attacks her at a snowy wasteland.
I mean,
she hugs a polar bear.
She does fight a polar bear.
She hugs a polar bear. There's a difference. She didn't fight
and
a
it's
polar
a,
bear.
Yeah. She thinks
she's now
having
a dream. Polar bear blowing up.
Now that I'm seeing how effective hugs can be.
Yeah, there's the hug.
Think about that.
Blows up a polar bear.
Think about that for Superman, Wonder Woman.
You got to beat that hug. And you're
I know
Superman polar bear.
Yep. Hugging.
But then all right, so she hugs a polar bear and then on the very next page the polar bear blows up.
Yeah.
With its like, you know, viscera flying everywhere. Right at
the
reader.
Two beats action point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
great
action.
Huge action. Real great. I was really siding with the polar bear on that one.
Okay. Yeah. I was really
So do people blow up after you hug them? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Don't ever be careful.
Hug after I hug
stay
them.
Distant.
I'm never
I've ruined so many relationships that way. Well, let me just say real quick.
Yeah.
Well, we got, you know, 6 issues of X-Factor left. Of course the characters you want to see are these electrifying characters of John Maddox, Wolfsbane dealing with her religion, and a polar bear exploding.
Right.
That's what my problem with this issue is, like, why are we dealing with this?
Are you kidding me? Everything that you just said sounds cool to me.
I did think you were selling it for a second there.
Wolfsbane dealing with her religion as a whole arc? The church politics of a tiny church in the middle of nowhere?
If you care about Wolfsbane as a character...
I don't know. I feel like so much of the last like 20 issues has been her dealing with her issues, and I feel like of anything in the last 6 issues of X Factor, we can move into some of the other characters and dealing with their relationships.
Here's the reason I
bring
this up.
I love this series.
Fair point.
I think what I like about this is he's not doing a slam bang, here's the end of X Factor, we're doing a world-breaking arc.
Right.
It's each issue is wrapping up his notes on those characters individually.
I love
I
notes. I love
really
people's
cool.
notes.
He clearly... has a problem with polar bears. Like, nobody's going to talk about
that? I'm sitting here staring at that panel. It's awesome. There's an exploding polar bear.
Yeah,
this is why comic books are fantastic.
Peter David's nemesis is a polar bear.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, he's murdered hundreds.
Do you think that's why he had a stroke?
Don't ever go to the zoo with him. He'll throw garbage at a polar bear
that
the whole
goddamn
day. I'm like, Peter, let's go to the penguins. He's like, no, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Nah.
He knows what he did.
He's throwing garbage.
I think he really hates those Coca-Cola commercials with those polar bears.
Yeah, certainly. It ruins the holidays.
It warmed my heart.
Anyway, this is a great book. You should definitely pick it up.
Really?
We all agree.
Great way to sum it up, Alex.
It's a great cover.
Yeah, and it's an awesome
cover. Beautiful
cover. Great series. Book. That's it for the stats.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
Jordan
worked on this. Yay.
We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
Hi.
Hey, what's the first question?
Whoa, shut up.
That's the first question.
I love
the first question is why is Alex such a jerk?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Next question.
It's a great mystery.
He's descended from the polar bears.
Yep.
Okay.
If Peter David were here,
he would destroy.
He'd be exploded.
Okay. Who would win in a fight?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, good.
Atrocitus, Red Hulk, Batman,
okay,
or Swamp Thing?
Wow.
Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
Is that...
Swamp? That was Swamp Thing clapping.
Charles, those are all characters you write.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm wondering if that was a targeted
way to piece that together, Alex.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean,
this is
the bitchiest show I've ever been on.
Shut up.
Well, no, you should come more often. You're the bitchiest show.
Yeah.
That's the wine talking, Calero.
Speaking of which, can we get some Calero, some more wine?
No, he definitely needs more wine.
I'm getting the shit.
Sorry, like I said, the table service has ended at the comic book club show. Anyway,
it's Swamp Thing. Obviously, Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing's incredible. Swamp Thing. He's the best. They're all the best, but Swamp Thing's sort of more the best.
You really don't think Batman could beat Swamp Thing?
No, I don't think Batman could beat Swamp Thing.
I love the way he said that.
He'd have to have like a six-month
I don't think Batman.
Lead.
Really?
Like six
Batman,
months?
Batman, yeah, here's Batman's plan. He goes to Home Depot, gets some weed killer, problem solved.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to bother. No, you're wrong. You're so incredibly wrong.
So upset right now.
Total slam from the writer himself.
Yeah. If anyone's qualified to answer that question, it is me.
Well, let's see.
Slam.
I guess that's totally true.
Well, I mean, the Batman movie franchise certainly killed the Swamp Thing TV show in cultural relevancy.
Yeah, that's true.
But I did like the Swamp Thing TV show, to be honest.
Did you really?
I really did. From the 80s?
Yeah.
The cartoon one or the...
No, the like legit...
Was that the one
action?
Where he was a detective solving mysteries?
No, he just wandered around the small town and like, I guess,
solved... Oh, I'm thinking of Swamp and Thing.
Solved mysteries.
Detective Swamp and Detective Thing teaming up. I don't know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get
that. That was
great.
It's got to be Swamp Thing, right? Because he can control everything.
Yeah, it's Swamp Thing.
Okay,
there's no argument.
Atrocitus lives in space. Here we go.
What is your favorite character crossover?
Character crossover.
That's what I said.
Okay. Superman, Muhammad Ali.
That's a good one.
Well, you're probably not going to get a lot more of that, so enjoy the issues you have.
What about, I like Muhammad Ali, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, Muhammad Ali.
You got some serious gender issues to work through, buddy.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He was the go-between between them when they were first dating. Yeah,
character crossover. There's been so many of them.
Actually, one that I've really been enjoying is Punisher and Elektra, honestly. Like, they are a really fun, like, the way they interact and stuff has been really cool. I mean, I don't know. Has that really been done? But I'm looking at Jordan. Before Thunderbolts? Like, have they really done that much together? Cool.
I don't recall. There was a beautiful Batman Hulk crossover drawn by Jose Garcia Lopez.
Who are you trying to impress with your pronunciation?
Jose Garcia Luis Lopez. It was beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like Spider-Man Daredevil teaming up younger, especially because it was always funny and the stories were usually very good. Good action and whatnot.
Oh, what about Wolverine Spider-Man? Remember that one? That was cool.
Yeah. Spider-Man Human Torch is good too.
That. Yeah. Were you talking about character team-ups or character crossovers
from different
universes?
Cross-company crossovers.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Any crossovers.
Yeah. Oh. Pete?
I had a team-up answer before we clarified.
That's fine.
It's Logan and Ben Grimm. They lost their powers and
their real names.
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
That sounds cool.
It was a short series. I think it was like 5 or 6 issues, but it was very enjoyable.
When was that?
I think it was late 90s, early 2000s.
Cool.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
I will give you the greatest crossover ever, and you will all agree. You ready?
Okay.
X-Men Teen Titans, Chris Claremont and Walt Simonson.
Wow.
It is very good.
Wow.
That was the baddest ass crossover ever.
Of all the crossovers that I've like reread over the years, I think Infinity Gauntlet is the one I've reread the most.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Really?
That's very good.
It's good stuff.
Crossover-wise, Inferno will always be my favorite of all time. I love just the coordination on that. It was so insanely impressive. And it's fun. Like, it's crazy. Good. Empire State Building, hundreds of feet in the air, covered in demons. Very cool.
Yeah.
But in terms of character crossover, Hulk Thing.
Yeah, that's your favorite.
Oh, the Bernie Wrightson graphic novel?
The Big Change?
Oh, yeah.
That's I love when they arm wrestle.
Yeah.
Who wins? Awesome. Always the Hulk.
Cool. Wars. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
All right.
Thank you for that question. That's fun.
I like that. You remember that Perez JLA Avengers? That was good, too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm going to reread all my Secret Wars 2 crossovers.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. That the one cool. where Spider-Man teaches the Beyonder to use the toilet?
That was good one.
Good stuff.
We could talk all night.
What is the best Superman costume?
The best
red
costume.
Blue.
The original, question. Baby. The original.
The separate red and blue Superman?
Yeah, red and blue Superman.
Oh, God.
Let's move on. Yeah,
what about jeans? What about when he was wearing jeans?
I like Superman to be jeans a little dressy.
Is that the Rags Morales like, one?
The jeans, like, it's not. If he's going to go out with like a nice lady like Wonder Woman, dress up a little bit. Put on some khakis something.
Nice polo.
I like Button Superman up. In khakis.
That's
I
the
think.
Best.
Yeah, wear your dress cape.
Yeah, exactly.
Was the jeans, is that Rags Morales, guys? Is that the one, the action comic?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. When he tucks the cape into a T-shirt.
That's beautiful stuff.
Remember in that series where there's a whole issue about how Superman got a T-shirt?
Yeah, he went to the T-shirt
that
shop
was
and ordered
weird.
A bunch of
them.
Right?
That was when Grant Morrison was like, whatever.
No, I'm sorry. That was the Shirley Fish backup, right?
No, it was in the main.
Well,
it was in the front.
It was backup.
Was it?
Well, the backup was the main story, but it was... Part of it was him losing the shirt, and there's a whole front story with the shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. The backup stuff was great.
The backup story I did think was
the best cool. costume in 1938, right?
The what?
The original
well, I
costume.
I don't know. I think like the sort of the 70s. Is that Kurt Swan? Who was drawing
that? Oh, well, yeah.
The what about the Nicolas Cage Tim Burton one? That was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one everyone's
the iridescent
thinking.
Superman? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the main Superman, Nicolas Cage one, that wasn't all that different. The main one he was photographed in.
I don't think it's been created yet. I think he needs a hat or something. Just something to
cover the hair.
What kind of hat? Like a
maybe
fedora?
Maybe like a fedora or
well,
something.
Well, I mean, National Treasure hat. 2 is
maybe
basically
like a
Superbad movie.
Yeah,
certainly. Like a hockey helmet. He gets into a lot of like scrapes. I mean, maybe that would help him. You know, like
definitely.
A hockey helmet?
A hockey helmet.
Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
So this one's this
young
one's
lady.
Sort of in the form of a letter. Dear Pete.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Frankencastle or Superior Spider-Man?
Ooh. And for a little bit of background, while Pete is coming up, he loves both of those storylines.
Yeah. So it's like
the
choosing
worst.
Between
the
two
worst.
Children.
Yeah. How do you hate one more? I'm going to have to say... Superior Spider-Man.
That's the one you hate more.
Yeah, because it's still going on, and it makes me so angry that it's selling so well, and people are so on board.
What's
so
bad?
So good.
What's so bad about it?
What?
I haven't read it. What's
no,
so terrible?
He doesn't know.
No, don't engage
really?
Him on this.
No, I really want to know. So, what's
Doc
no,
Ock, no. A one.
Oh, Dennis, what'd you do?
Yeah, he's now living in Peter Parker's body. Uh-huh. He's Spider-Man.
He's just renting. He's subletting.
And then they had Casper, the...
Friendly ghost.
It was awful.
Casper
we
Friedrich,
had this exact conversation last time I was on the show, like, whenever that was. It was
not
exactly
much
the same.
Charles, welcome to the last 6 years of
that. I bet.
Not very original.
I love this.
Frankencastle's still going on in my heart.
No, fuck you.
Those are both, by the way, great storylines if you ever want to pick them up.
Both
Rich,
good.
Ask that.
Who asked that question?
Comics.
I love that man. Look at that shirt. That's fantastic.
More questions? Sure, we'll do a lightning round.
What is your favorite comic book to video game adaptation?
Ooh.
Turok, Nintendo.
Wow, nice.
Okay.
There we go.
That is a good game.
Strong answer.
I really
the
enjoyed
new the Deadpool.
Wait, that's Injustice, the iOS game. Does that count at all?
No.
No, because the comic came after.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Boo, Alex.
Sorry, guys.
What was your first comic book you ever read?
Oh.
Spider-Man 245.
Nice.
I mean, probably Care Bears something, but I don't
know. Oh, my God.
It colors your opinions
series.
These days as well. Pete?
Star series, right?
It was the Captain America. We had two Uzis on the cover.
I don't think that happened.
No, it was real.
It was,
that was a dream you had in your crib.
No, that happened.
That was a dream you had in your crib.
Nope, that happened.
Mine was an issue of Atlantis attacks in the Avengers.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Mine was a Fantastic Four issue my dad brought out from the drugstore to shut me up in the back of the car one day.
It
had the Guardians in it, but I don't know.
He was like, shut up and consider this for the career in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And here we are today.
That's good parenting.
Yeah, cool. That's good parenting.
One more question.
One more. How do you know when to make Jim Gordon's hair red and when to make it white?
Ooh.
If I'm doing it, I want.
I think they mean
white.
You specifically.
Yeah.
I do it how I want.
I
great
just,
answer.
It's white, right?
You're the artist.
No, I do it white. I just feel like it.
There you go.
I just feel like it.
Feels great. Good, baby.
Satisfying
well,
answer.
Do it when it feels good, Dennis. Okay, a couple of things before we wrap up this section. So I want you guys to start thinking about what your favorite question is.
Each of you should have an answer.
Each of you should have
been asked today.
Yeah, because one person's favorite question is going to get a free copy of tomorrow's Red Lanterns number 21 from DC Comics, written by somebody on this panel. And the other person is going to win a gift certificate to go see Tours for Fun, which is a walking tour of New York. They've been nice enough to sponsor the show here. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a superhero walking tour of New York. So you get to see sights from Fantastic Four, the Avengers, Marvel Comics.
Spider-Man,
DC
movies,
Comics.
Yeah.
Probably Swamp Thing, if there's a swamp somewhere in New York.
Yeah, great. Yeah. May I tell
a brief story involved with this situation? May I?
What? Yeah.
Very brief. When I was first taking the bus up to New York to go to school here, I'd lived in Miami, never been to New York in my entire life. I saw the three smokestacks that Spider-Man used to practice in the comic, he bounced between them. And I was like, wow, now I know I'm really in New York.
Wow, that's
nice.
Isn't
that sweet?
That's pretty cool. Story
clap your humps. Man. There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Again, asking for applause.
He called you humps. Don't clap.
There you go.
I love you people.
So what do you guys think? Favorite question, Dennis?
The crossover question was a lot of fun. I like that question.
Who asked the crossover question?
That gentleman right over there.
All right. Congratulations. Come see us after the show. You're going to win a free gift certificate to Tours for Fun.
And
what's your favorite question?
I like the Superman costume question quite a bit.
Superman costume.
All right.
You're going to give it to the lady.
Hubba. Before anybody else. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Boothman.
All right, guys. It's now time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing, Henry Cavill, Superman himself, says about Justice League, I don't think it's around the corner.
Doesn't see it happening from the
actor. Did he say that, or was he literally like, I'm standing on the corner, there is nothing around the corner.
Who said this?
Henry Cavill,
who played
Superman
the
Man of Steel.
He's the actor. What does he know?
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
I kind of feel
you're dealing with a lot of actors
it's
here.
It's all the producers, baby.
Well, the other thing that's crazy is, I don't know if we talked about this before.
Right there, the guy bending over.
Who's wearing an Army of Darkness
right
shirt?
Right there. He's going up the stairs. He's wearing an Army of Darkness shirt.
Oh, yeah, you, buddy.
Nice.
Are you in for a treat?
I don't know if you guys have heard the rumor. They said that they might be rushing Man of Steel 2 into production to release it in 2014.
Crazy.
That's nuts.
That's super nuts.
Well, to be fair, there are literally no buildings left in Metropolis, so it should be pretty easy to film.
You know what? I think that's the way it should be done. I think there needs to be the way that comics are done, you know, it's very regular. It comes out often. I think this idea of waiting for comic book movies years and years in between, I think it's a mistake. I think every year.
But you don't want to rush them.
Well, it takes a while to make them.
Yeah. No, but I think.
What if it was like once a month or so?
No. Here's what I think it should be. I think it should be you're Henry Cavill.
I know.
And I say, if this.
It's pronounced Cavill.
Is it really?
The way I say it, yeah.
Okay. I think
it's
I heard
my name.
All right, Cavill.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced Henri Cavill.
Henri, thank
the
you, French documentary
is,
team.
When you sign the contract, if this goes well, this is what you do. We're doing one Superman movie a year for 5 years. We're going to pay you a buttload of money, but that's the way it is. I think that's acceptable.
And I would say, as Henry Cavill, define buttload, producer.
It's a lot.
And that would be, and then a terrible thing would happen.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Hollywood producer.
Especially if this guy's the producer.
Well, what do you guys think?
Hey!
I mean, I think it's a little. When the actor is saying, I don't think it's... like that's a bad message to be putting out there, that the lead actor, you're building the franchise around.
All that message means is pay me a lot of money. That's all that message means.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really? You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, here's a lot of money. Okay, now I know. Yes.
pretty much. Speaking of somebody who is not following that rule, Jim Carrey came out against the violence in Kick-Ass 2 this week.
Yeah.
He said very specifically he loved working with the cast, loved working on the film. He has no regrets doing it, except he can't support the film because of the level of violence, specifically because of what has
Sandy
been
Hook.
Sandy Hook.
Why?
Yeah.
Everything has been happening around the country.
Why didn't you see the first one?
Yeah, he actually saw the first one and asked to be in the second one.
Well, you what know, do you it's, think was
well,
going
to happen? Fair, listen, he
well,
said he had
Sandy
a, he,
I mean,
change
the,
of heart.
I think the key, change of heart. Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. Like, you know what, I mean, yeah. people's opinions change, and I think it's happens in politics, happens in movies, all like, you know, sort of entertainment
happens
stuff.
In a bedroom.
It's ridiculous. Like, the idea that you're going to lock someone into something they said or something they chose, you know, like, people can change their minds, and I respect that he said it. I don't care.
And I mean, after Dumb and Dumber, he came out against farting, like, pretty strongly.
Can we, just based on Dennis?
Boom, best line of the night. Well done.
Can we do a, play a quick
best
game?
Line.
I think
sure.
what we
there
should do is do after comments and then add in bed. So, like,
great.
I don't think Justice League is around the corner.
In my bed.
In my bed. That's okay, good.
I think that...
I'm against the violence in Kick-Ass 2.
In bed. Well, that makes sense. Then.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm of the opinion now that I think that... I do think that saying that crazy, wanton, dehumanizing violence is okay because it's fiction, just because it's fiction, I think it's a cop-out.
Yeah.
I agree. That was my big problem, actually, with Man of Steel, which we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah.
It got to a point where it was too much. Not even the final act, which we talked about on the show before, but just that whole third act, the fight of the Metropolis, it was
may
just
I ask you
much.
A question
it
about
was
that?
Off-putting.
May I ask you your guys' opinion on that?
Sure.
Do you think that Snyder... We're all guessing here. Thank you. My voice can boom. We're all guessing.
No, this is a podcast.
This hasn't happened since college. Do you think... Thank you. Do you think that Snyder is assuming that the audience is assuming that the buildings are empty and that no one's getting killed? Because he went through a couple of buildings.
David Goyer has gone on record as saying a lot of people died.
Yeah,
well,
and
bullshit.
Also they make a point of cutting to the people still in the buildings throughout the fight,
not
just
Superman.
In the beginning.
Yeah,
I know.
You know when those things are sucking up all the, you know, like the
gravity
thing?
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. And there's actually, they had to delete the scenes where Superman was literally flying through buildings, snapping people's necks.
Yeah.
Just, you know, taking a minute.
He's practicing.
He's got super speed, so he could just, you know.
But I really think
you're going to die anyway. I'm going to take care of this quicker.
I think they really were setting it up for the second one, showing how much he can grow and change. That this was his first fight.
Fair enough.
He does know
but
his
there's
powers.
Ways to do that without killing a million people.
I'm
in
not defending.
No,
I was
call
just
bullshit
angry.
On that
yes.
interpretation
just,
only because
you guys ever read The Boys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Boys. It's a Garth Ennis series.
Sure.
You know, about kind of how superheroes are, like the whole idea of them is idiotic.
Yeah.
I felt like it was illustrated, that final sequence in Man of Steel illustrated everything he said in his series, but it was supposed to be taken deadly serious with the hero. Like I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
no,
that's
can't
really
do Superman
true.
In a real point. World. You can't.
What?
You
can do it. I mean, we talked about this a lot. It would have taken just a little bit of Superman taking a moment to save someone. It has happened in every other Superman movie.
Superman, the protector.
Yeah, where he stops, he sacrifices himself to protect humans.
Well,
that's his whole thing.
Somebody other than Lois Lane.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I saved Lois from this plane of 25
good.
People
Millions
dying.
Millions of people died,
Yay.
But I saved Lois, so I think we're good. We're going to make out.
Well, have you seen Lois's ass? Seriously?
Of course. And it's so comical in the movie when, like, Perry White and these other couple characters are, like, right on the edge of the destruction and there's no one there, meaning literally everyone else in this crowded Metropolis, capital M.
How about this? How about this? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the police department. Spaceship is coming this way. Evacuate the city. Done. Then the problem is solved.
Yeah, I would like a long scene dealing with like how they.
You
like,
could do it in 30
you
seconds.
You know what? They gave us a long scene with Perry White trying to get somebody we don't care about out of some rubble.
I agree.
You know? So there's a lot of
to get out. They're evacuating the city.
I mean, yeah.
Well, we're staying.
Okay, to compare it to something similar from the same people, basically, except for Zack Snyder and David Goyer. But in Dark Knight Rises, you have the whole city under attack. Everybody is being threatened. People are being taken out and killed. But the people who eventually fight and are put in danger are the people who choose to be there. They have a very specific thing with, oh, my God, what's his name? Not William Sadler.
I love William Sadler.
William Sadler's the best.
Yeah. Is that – was it William Sadler?
No, but
wasn't.
He's really good.
Yeah. Guy I'm thinking of the – you know.
Which guy?
The guy, the captain who's like, I don't want to fight Bane.
Oh, Matthew Modine?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen him in real life. He's sexy.
Yeah, but
his
whole
man.
Arc was like, I'm going to decide to sacrifice myself for the greater good
and
so other people can be safe.
My handsome face.
So something like that, I feel like it's very comparable where you have a city under attack. It can be blown up. It can be destroyed. But the people who are sacrificing themselves are not people who are like, oh, I'm in a building having a regular day. And then Superman smashed it to shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's no argument.
It was a weird choice. And I don't know why. I don't know why they chose to do that. But, you know, we'll see.
I think it's probably a desire to do Superman in a way that they perceived – was realistic and naturalistic the way that the Batman movies were done, but I don't know if you could do Superman the same way.
Yeah, it definitely was not fun to watch.
On our last note for Wicked Geek, Alan Moore has started a Kickstarter, at least according to the notes that Justin made for me. So I'm going to assume he's doing his own version of Before Watchmen. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's finally coming. It's just going to be on.
Way.
It's
going
to be. No, he's joking. He's joking.
That is awesome.
It's going to be written on bar napkins and just mailed to different people around the world.
And there's a lot of children fucking in the book now, so that's a little
wow.
weird.
Wow.
Here we go.
Strong statement. No, Alan Moore launched a Kickstarter, then he's...
It's for a movie, right? Some weird movies, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a given. It's going to be weird, but...
Yeah. Right.
Is it really for a movie?
It's a series. It's like a multimedia project, and the short has already been
made. There's an album that's coming out with it, you know.
A series of new photographs.
I don't know if you guys know this, but it's an American Tale 3.
Yeah. Nice.
Written by Alan Moore.
Real Fievel heads in the crowd tonight.
He was the father.
Fievel goes snake god? I mean, what is American?
Fievel fucks on is the actual working title.
Alan Moore, Ghost Rock the Line, There Are No Cats in America, The Streets Are Paved with Cheese.
I love that song.
That's it for the week, Geek. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
That's a handsome man right there.
Oh, geez. Stop it. Knock it off.
Going to have to take that jacket, take it in.
All right. So, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because you'd spend it on comics, right, guys? $25?
Right, guys?
Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Yes, sir.
I would.
First hand up, guy. Come on up.
Speaking
what is your name,
hair.
Sir?
My name's Matt.
Matt, audience. Audience, Matt.
Hello, everybody. Hi,
hey,
Matt.
Say hello to Matt. Yeah, all right, cool.
Thank you.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. You get all three right, you win $25. All right? Cool. All right, so question number one. So this is all the comics that came out this week. Got questions on it this week in comics. Here we go. In Wonder Woman number 21, which by many was called amazing because of blank. Is it A, a huge brawl, B, a huge reveal, or is it C, because of a huge Drew Barrymore lookalike?
What?
So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
I'm going to go with the brawl.
Yes,
nice
there is a huge
choice.
Fight in that.
Great choice.
People love violence. All right. Question number two. In Wolverine Max number 8, the tagline is blank, no one can hear you scream. In blank, no one can hear you scream. Is it A, space, B, Hollywood, or C, full throttle? So it's either A, space, or B, in Hollywood, no one can hear you scream.
I'm going to go with Hollywood, California.
Yes, correct.
California. Great
All
point.
Right. Last question. Focus up. Okay. And Thunderbolts number 11, which is the last one Daniel Warren's doing. Oh, my God. All right. Deadpool
again,
reveals.
Again, very insulting.
Going to go to shit.
Dude, I've got a lot of high hopes for you. I'm just saying let's honor the man.
Hey, respect the threads.
Yeah, respect the threads a little bit. We'll have plenty of time to talk about your stuff. It's still his time down here. Okay? All right, here we go.
Okay.
In Thunderbolts number 11, Deadpool reveals he is scared of blank. Is it A, Red Hulk,
Hello,
B,
nurse.
Spiders,
oh,
or C, Destiny's Child? So it's either A, Red Hulk, which is the only one that makes sense, or B, Spiders.
Or Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child.
Close second, Destiny's Child, but I'm going to go with Red Hulk.
Red Hulk is correct. $25 free, sir. Congratulations. You're welcome.
Awesome. Very exciting. Very exciting. Guys, as we all know... This tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Certainly.
We've been sponsored by Midtown Comics.
Yep.
So, guys, what are you looking forward to picking up tomorrow? Yep. Pete?
BPRD Vampire number 4.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Any particular reason, Pete?
This is really kind of getting serious.
The main character's been looking for
this. It's getting serious between you and BPRD.
Yeah, it's getting, you know, we're
relationships. Well,
thinking about going exclusive.
Do you think you're going to do Pete LePage, BPRD Vampire, or BPRD Vampire, Pete LePage?
Yeah, be careful. It's a controversial choice.
I would put
choice.
BPRD Vampire ahead of myself.
What All a gentleman.
Right. Yeah.
Drawn by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Bond.
Yeah. Two twins who are crazy and awesome.
Great.
At the same time.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is really the first couple of series have been kind of setting the stage. And now the main character is confronting the vampire he's been looking for. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Unwritten number 50.
Classic.
Crossover, yeah. Great comic, crossing over with Fables. It's Unwritten involves a lot of fictional characters from the world, from world fiction, and Fables is the same. So it's great, such a natural crossover, and I'm very surprised they're doing it. It's such a landmark issue, but it's going to be really exciting.
Tying into what we've been talking to, I had a chance to read Batman Superman number 1 for Greg Pak. It's awesome. I hope you all pick it up.
It is really, really good. I read it too. It's great.
Fantastic. But something I haven't read, I'm really looking forward to Fatal number 15. Mm. Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips have had a
very good.
Ridiculous role the past couple of issues.
Every issue.
This is a H.P. Lovecraft mystery-inspired series. It's fantastic, so definitely pick it up.
Cool.
Dennis, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I was going to pick up Superman Batman, drawn by Jay Lee, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that guy's awesome.
It's awesome. Ridiculous.
He's so good. So I'm going to pick up a lot of stuff, but I think what I'm really looking forward to is issue 14 of Exo Manowar.
Yeah.
I think he's been really Valiant has been really good.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm hoping they will hear this and hire me to do some stuff and pay me some money.
Well, that sort of counteracts your compliment.
What
but,
would you want to do? What would you want to do with Valiant if you had any?
I want to do Shadow Man.
Shadow Man.
Oh, nice. Shadow Man.
That's right up your alley.
I can't complain.
Yeah.
But I can't complain because Zercher has been doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, I don't know.
So would you say, would your take on Shadow Man be like short gloves or what do you think?
Short gloves, short pants.
Yeah, don't ruin Shadow.
Short attention span.
Yeah.
The ghost there.
Cool.
Where? What?
I love those 8-bit covers that they've been doing.
Yeah.
Classic video game covers. Really funny, really cool.
They're cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out, Dennis?
Batman on digital.
Yeah.
Legends of the Dark Knight.
Comixology. You can
get Comixology.
Try
digital comics. They're good. Yeah.
50 issues, 53, 54, 55, I think.
Yeah, we still get the money,
story.
So pay us.
Yeah, it's good. Go for it.
Let's do it.
And Charles, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I am incredibly excited for Fury Max 13.
Yeah!
Which has been one of the best series I've read in the last year. I mean, Garth Ennis, I think, tends to write home runs, and this Fury Max series has been one of his
really
home runniest home runs.
Grand slam, you could say.
Yeah. So I just can't wait.
Hungry.
I think it's going to be fantastic. And I understand he's doing a Punisher in Vietnam series afterwards. Is that right?
Ooh.
Maybe something. Hopefully. Anyway. So I'm excited for that. And obviously Red Lanterns 21 comes out tomorrow. So I hope that folks will check that out.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's very good, guys.
It's really good.
Awesome.
Man.
All right, there we go. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Ed Cotto and Joe Ahern are going to be here from Captain Action, so that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
good.
Also, I want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tanicella, and Riley Chahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yay.
Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and the hashtag fuck. Fuck on.
Fuck on.
check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, youtube.com/nerdist for the movie show. Check out our World War Z and Man of Steel episodes.
Yes,
Pacific
indeed.
Rim episode 2 come very soon.
Coming soon.
There you go. And a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Dennis for being on.
Yeah!
Charles!
Yeah!
Boothman!
Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in Funtatus, totally free in New York. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thank you to the people of France who are viewing on this documentary.